Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On this episode of Two Dudes, One Card, I sit down with Bob Kitchen, the Santa Claus of the golf industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Two Dudes, One Card podcast. And as always, thank you for listening. Well, everybody, I can't think of a better way to end the year than with the Santa Claus of the golf business, Mr. Bob Kitchen. Bob, how you doing this evening?
Love that. Wonderful, my friend, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. I can't thank you enough for your friendship and all the fun I've had on the podcast this year. This has really been enjoyable, and I look forward to it every week. And I know we've taken a little while putting this show together, so I'm glad we're finally doing it, brother. So thank you.
Yeah, as always, I appreciate you coming on and taking the time. I know how busy you are, especially this time of year. We were both just discussing before we started the podcast how busy we actually are. But
yeah,
I'm glad we could get it in right before Christmas and get this thing. I'll put it up. You'll be the last interview of the year. So I can't think of a better way to close it out.
Let's go. I love it. Thank you.
So, Bob, let's cap this year. How's everything been? How's business been? How are you keeping it together in the at the end of the season like this with all the people?
What makes you think I'm doing that?
Oh, man. I can only imagine. In your line of work, man, it's got to be hectic right now.
Yeah, so the review for the year is we always enter it with hopeful skepticism, if that makes any sense. We're hopeful, but we're also a little bit skeptic. And we first half of the year was pretty darn good, and we were moving along in the right direction, and then felt a little fall off going. I was half panicking for our golf show winter season. We do all those golf shows all over, and man, we got to start finding product. We got to buy product. We got to buy product. And all the companies are pretty tight. It felt bad there for a little bit, maybe a 60-day window or something. And then we closed out the year with just some of the best deals and best buys we've had in a long time. Like, we just bought 6,000 Callaway Apex hybrids, literally 6,000. It was like 50-something pallets of Callaway stuff between Paradigm and Apex and Maverick and Rogue. Like, it was an unbelievable end of the year. Callaway finally struck some deal and wanted to move some stuff, and we got a killer deal from them, killer deal from Cobra, got another deal from Wilson. So all in all, just met with the accountant, and he's like, are you guys managing better or doing better or what's up? Because the numbers seem to be really good here. I'm like, well, I think we're just managing better, really. Our staff has just been really, really good this year. We got a lot of people on the same page. We had a little issue last year. 2 years ago, we had a big issue. We've been whittling it down, and it's been really, really good, and the staff feels better about everything. I told my dad when he came back from California about how well I feel about our business and the direction we're headed, and how good our staff has been, and we've got a lot of people in the right places. We need to hire two or three more people to get everything, keep everything up, because right now I personally am running ragged. I'm working way more than I have in like the last 15 years, to be perfectly honest. We started a thing called Whatnot. Did I talk to you about that, Steve, or no?
You did. I did see it on. I mean, I've been on Whatnot before, and I saw you announce it, and I saw it on social media. But no, we have not talked about it.
Yeah, it's the craziest thing ever. So we're doing Whatnot now, and that's a huge time crunch. But it's fun. It's live auction selling. And it's a unique animal. You don't really know what you're going to sell it for because it starts at a dollar and it just sells. But it's been fun. It's been. There's a really good core group of customers on there too, and everybody kind of. It's kind of like its own community, and that's been really fun. So a lot of things head in the right direction, dude. So I'm pretty comfortable. Like, whatever happens in the White House and politics and economy and all those things, like, Maple Hill's doing well. And all in all, I think that the industry is healthy, and Maple Hill's very healthy. And we're getting deals, and we run our business with the cash flow. We don't have any debts. So we're not paying any banks. So we can buy it and sell it cheaper than anybody. And and we got a great team. I've said that a few times now. We really truly have a great team. It takes a village, man, and we've got a great village. So I'm proud of what's happening at my store, at my business.
I would say I've seen a lot of things, and most of it's on social media, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But
Right.
I've read several articles that said that the golf business, that it's declining, and that prices are dropping, and all these things, and yet I don't necessarily see that anywhere. I mean, it sounds like you've gained business more than you've lost. It doesn't,
Yeah.
none of it seems to jive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, social media's job is not necessarily to tell the truth. It's just to get people to click on things and watch things. So, yeah, I think it's a social media is dangerous, right? So the truth is that prices probably have come down some, but from an all-time high, yeah, prices have come down some because 5 years ago was as high as it's ever been. I mean, everything was insane, and then it even kept it up for about 2 years, and maybe 2 years ago we started getting some deals again. Last year we started getting some deals, and right now it's hot and heavy. It's rocking, and you got to have the space and the money to actually buy this stuff, and we have both, so we're fortunate. We've run our business right, and my dad's philosophy has always been buy low, sell, and just buy a ton, sell a ton. So it's been really solid. So yeah, that report is probably partially true, like a lot of things on social media,
Right.
right? Like everyone's life is great on social media. Nobody posts, "Hey, I went to the casino last night and I lost $800." Not a lot of people put that. They put their winning ticket out there. I had a jackpot for $2,200 or something like that. The last 4 times I went, I lost $600 a piece or $1,000 a piece. And so everybody, it's all kind of blown out of proportion. Everything, you know, there's just so many good people in the world, Stevie, like you and I have talked about off camera before, that it's nothing's as bad as anybody makes it out to be. It really isn't. And then oftentimes, you know, nothing's quite as good as what people make it out to be either. You know, people's life on social media, especially some of these people, they want everything to look like it's just so, and it's not really the truth. The truth is it's somewhere in the middle, and that's okay. That's okay. Just own it, and it's fine. Yeah, is the golf industry slipping a little from its all-time peak? Maybe a little, but 8 years ago, you all would have, everyone would have killed for this. Like literally, this is still magnificent compared to what it was pre-COVID.
So what's Mr. Kitchen looking forward to next year? Not just in business, but in your personal life. You got anything you're looking forward to next year? Got any big plans?
2026 will be the last year I get to spend with my oldest son as far as in this house. He's a senior this year, so that'll be James is graduating, which is a bit of a, even just saying it like that is kind of a bitter pill to swallow, right? Like when you lose your first child, and nothing's wrong with him. He's just not going to be here anymore. He'll be away at college and he's going to be living his own life and doesn't really need dad so much anymore, right? That's tough, man. That's tough, and I'm staring that right in the face, right? He's already basically halfway through his senior year. Like Christmas is kind of it for he's got January, February, March, April. So I guess and then, yeah, maybe a little bit of May. So he's got 4 or 5 months left of school, and then I'm going to do as much I can in the summer with him, and he's gone. My other son's a freshman, going to be sophomore next year. He'll try out for the golf team in the spring. He's on the swim team right now, which is great. I did start dating again. I got a wonderful girlfriend, so that's been just really fantastic after about 2 years or so of divorce and kind of all the depression that goes along with divorce. So I've met a wonderful young woman that's just treats me like gold, and she's great. So I really haven't been like the exact amount of happy I am right this second. I haven't been this happy in a while, and I owe it a lot to it. My faith for sure, and then my girlfriend, my business, my kids, like all of it just makes me happy. And I'm in a nice warm house. I got food in the fridge. Like I got water drink. I really life's good, dude. I don't need anything. I just want experiences, and I love people. I don't love things. Yeah, I don't. I'm excited about next year, man. I'm a little sad to see my son go, but it's great to see him spread their wings and go out and be wonderful, and he will be. He's such a bright spot, and all his teachers love him. His buddies' parents love him. They all think the world of him, and he's just got such a good heart and such a good head on his shoulders. I'm so proud of him. But yeah, like I'm always interested to see what the future holds for him and all the things. He's been really enjoying working at Maple Hill this year. We've got him into some new positions at work, and he's done well with that. And he's helped me out in that Whatnot show a couple times, and It's been great. Future's bright, man. I'm excited. God's got a lot of plans for me still, so I'm going to keep on trying to be the light that he wants me to be. So it's good.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you from experience, I've got my youngest. She's now in college, and she drives over. She's in Joplin, Missouri.
Yep.
It's one thing when you finally, because my oldest daughter's went to college, and she stays here, and she's got a job, but it's like there's a different pit in your stomach when your kid jumps in the car and drives 8 hours, and then she has to turn around. She drove back with all the weather and all that stuff, and you're like, if there was anything ever that was going to drive me to drinking, it was that. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I can't, I, you know, just pacing, following, you know, wondering how much longer before she's here. But yeah, it's a different experience. But like you said, it's nice to see them, you know, kind of grab life by the horn, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Go off and do their own thing. But
yeah, it's beautiful, right? Like in the end, like all the little stages and steps. And if you did it right, you were there for them the whole time. Every little stage and step is really just a thing of beauty. And then when they finally spread their wings and go, it's definitely bittersweet. I understand that, but that's what you're working towards the whole time, right? So how can you, it's okay to be emotional about it, but sad is not, I'm not going to be sad. I'm just going to be emotional when the end is actually there. But I'm always going to be his dad. He's always going to, no matter what, I'm 47 years old and I still want to talk to my dad, right? I enjoy talking to my dad. I talked to him today a little bit, bullshit with him a little bit, and we had a, have a great time. So yeah, it's all good.
Bob, has there been any surprises going out of the store? Has there been one thing that's been a hot buy here towards the end of the year? Is it just, it's going out so fast, you just can't.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I know. I sent Joe an email to get some stuff, and I was like, man, I bet he's really busy. I'm just going to jump on the website and pick some stuff up. I got a nephew in golf, and I was like, hey, I need to get some chews and some balls and some tees. And then I replied to him back. I go, I forget you have a website. And he hits
me. But you never need anything personally. You just email me or Joe, and we'll take care of you personally. We'll hook that up. We're never too busy for our – we're never too busy for anybody, to be perfectly honest, but you're definitely at the top of the heap because you do this for me and get our name out there, and I appreciate that. But what's the hot buzzword and all that? Seven woods still haven't died. Everybody still wants a seven wood. Like, people forgot about hybrids, but seven wood has not died. Even nine wood is pretty popular. One of the other things I get asked about a lot is women's drivers. We had a hard time getting a deal on a women's driver. Like, they were all 350 plus. A lot of them were 400 plus. Some were 500, 600. Crazy expensive. We finally got some ladies' driver deals. We got at least three of them I can think of. At least three, which are all great clubs. A Callaway and a couple of Cobras that are all really good stuff for cheap. The ladies' market grows. Sold a couple junior sets this week to my friends. Of course, in Michigan, you can't use that at Christmas. It's kind of a tough gift for a kid because here's your clubs. We'll use them in April. But a lot of people have simulators now and stuff in their house, or their friend does, or at school. Now a lot of schools have hitting nets or simulators of some sort. So, yeah, it's a wide range, but like buzzword and hot things, I'd say ladies stuff and seven woods are still hot. Nine woods are still popular. But, yeah, it's all going out, man. It's going out fast. Saturday was insane. I was at Maple for a little bit. It was insane. Yeah, I don't know. If you have the deals, the people will come. And we've got two other golf stores in Grand Rapids. We've got a Superstore and a Galaxy. And we haven't even noticed that they're there. Like, Superstore opened up this year, March of this year, 25. And we haven't even seen a 1% drop. If anything, we're up from last year with a giant store opening right in town. So we're doing something right, dude. We must be.
So is it more difficult to get women's drivers than it is left-handed clubs and left-handed drivers?
It is more tough to get women's, yes. Just
really?
Because of the, yeah, which doesn't seem possible, but it is. Now, ladies lefties, I could probably find that. That's half of 1%. But ladies, just the lady generate the population, it's just gone up so much. It's incredible. It's really hard to explain how girls golf, like I'm talking high school especially,
Right.
because that's what we kind of deal with the most. Girls golf is on fire, way more popular than it's ever been. Which means girls' college golf is going to be way more popular, right? Like one feeds the other. And then just recreational female play is just up a ton. And it's a great sport you can go out and do with your loved ones, spouse, girlfriend, whatever. Just the participation is way up. And these companies just overproduce men's because you can't make too many men's right-handed drivers. You really can't. It's
Right.
impossible. Like you might not make money on all of them, but the last few, you might lose something on or sell for break even, but ladies drivers has just been a shortcoming. There's fairways and hybrids sometimes because those aren't replaced as much, but the ladies drivers are tough, really tough.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with the women's game. I think it has a lot to do with the stuff that's going on social media lately. There's been a lot of popular female influencers playing golf and
Oh, yeah.
on a lot of different venues and
Oh,
on a
yeah.
lot of different channels. And I think that's helping get that to explode, which is great.
Yes.
The juniors were just, hell, I think we're just all happy to see kids out doing something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Playing
Yeah.
golf is great. The more we can get them out on the course is outstanding. That's the only way we're going to really truly grow the game anyway.
Absolutely. And somebody the other day was in, they were like, yeah, we don't want him to his golf to ruin his baseball swing. And I said, no. Don't let baseball ruin his golf swing. He's going to golf for 60 years. He's going to play baseball for 4 to 8. So don't let baseball ruin his golf swing. He's gonna be a golfer, not a baseball player. Like if you're the best player ever, what do these guys play? Like Barry Bonds or Sosa or any of these guys that were in their prime and play? Did they even make it to 40? Like late 30s,
Right.
right?
Yeah. He
So
had some
if
that
they
got up there, but yeah, what's the.
yeah if they started it if they started at 10, call it round number, and they finished at 36, that's 26 years of playing baseball. Best ever to play the game. Was Nolan Ryan 40 years old? Was
Yeah.
it? Something like
He's
that.
in his 40s,
I
yeah.
one of the best pitchers of all time, blah blah blah. So he probably played baseball for 30 years. And if Nolan Ryan golfed, he probably started in high school or college, and he's probably gonna play golf for 40 or 50 years, you know. That's how it works. Golf's such a beautiful sport, and you can play it when you're 90. We got a guy in the other day, 95 years old, still swinging it. Such a beautiful thing. So yeah, we never don't let any other sport ruin your golf swing. Stance. Always
Yeah, and
will
the
be.
likelihood of your kid going professional in anything is,
Correct.
I know it's hard for parents to grasp, but you're
Yeah,
like.
yeah, yeah. They want to live vicariously, right? Everyone does, but the reality of everything is what you really need to focus in on. And the reality is that golf is the game of life, and it's a great sport too because it's humbling and it's fun and it's outside and it's drinking a beer, driving a cart, hanging out with friends, making friends, and you're spending 4 hours of kind of peace and quiet. Even if you got music playing, even if somebody in your group is loud or never shuts the hell up or something. It's still pretty relaxing. If you're with a good group of guys you truly love, it's really hard to beat, man. And the older I get, the more I appreciate that type of thing.
Bob, I was gonna wait, but I can't wait. I was gonna wait to ask you about
Love it.
this damn quantum driver that Callaway's been.
Ah, let's go.
It has been. It pops up all over on my social media, and I've watched a bunch. They had the stuff, quote unquote, leaked or whatever. And
Yeah.
have you had your hands on this club, on these drivers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. I think back in October or November is when we get to see him, but they really don't want me talking about him. I kind of just sit there. They don't let, even in the room, in the Callaway rep is literally a personal friend of mine. We've been friends since we were kids. He took over for his dad. My dad were friends, like, known the guy my whole life. And he's like, dude, just no pictures. Like literally just put your phone down. They're really tight-lipped about it. They show we're called key accounts, so our platinum accounts, whatever, one or the other. So we're the ones that are in the top 10 retailers in the country, which Maple Hill is either number 2 or number 3 in the country right now. So they show us this stuff early. He'll even show it to our employees, but he stands there and makes sure nobody's being stupid and taking pictures. Because if they do, his asking me on the line. it can go bad. They did fire one guy for somebody taking pictures and leaking them before they wanted them leaked. They intentionally leak stuff. They kind of wait for each other to do something. Callaway waits for TaylorMade, and then once TaylorMade does it, Callaway goes, "Whoops, here comes our pictures."
Right.
But if it gets out too soon, then it starts to hurt the sale of Elite or Smoke or whatever's already in the marketplace. So they have a good planning around all that stuff, and they're smart. They're really smart. But the club in person, dude, is absolutely beautiful. They said with Elite, I don't know what you know or don't know about Elite or what you've read online or heard online. I don't know just how big of a club nerd you are, but Elite actually won the testing a lot. The golf club tests well. It performs well. Shelf appeal and just curb appeal, if you want to call it that, like they didn't win. They were actually down in some stores like 20 to 40%, like Superstore and Galaxy and some of these massive national retailers that really move the needle for them as far as because volume of stores, right? They just have so many stores. And if you're down 20 to 40% in a big ass store like that is a major issue. Chip Brewer, the CEO of Callaway, and Glenn Hickey, the president of Callaway, who was at Maple Hill last year, he flew in for a really cool meeting. We had a great meeting. They fired everyone. And I mean, literally, they fired every employee that had to do with Elite. They said they walked, they just said, everyone's gone. You can reapply for your job, but you're all fired. And I personally think that's aggressive. I don't know if it's exactly their fault why the club didn't sell, but they didn't like the way it looked. They didn't like that their sales got crushed, all these things. So when they rehired some of the guys and the new team that they brought in, they said, this club needs to look right. Our performance is always there. Callaway is very insane about their performance. You asked about Quantum, so I'm talking about
Right.
Quantum. Callaway's insane about the performance. If the damn thing doesn't work right, they don't want it. Like way back, Big Bertha, Great Big Bertha, all that crap from the 90s, it sold. It didn't have to perform. It did perform, but it wasn't phenomenal. And it wasn't like, like a really high-tech golf club. You
Right.
look at it, it's pretty damn plain. So Quantum and Elite and Smoke and Paradigm before that, like all that stuff. Callaway's insane about performance. They don't want it to just look cool. They want it to perform well. Elite performed well. They don't think it looked cool, and it lost that war. So Quantum, they went with the number one selling color for cars, like that. Have you seen color pictures of it or no?
No, I don't think I have. I just saw most of it's been writings about
Or
how
those
well it
black and white.
performs and stuff like that.
Yeah. You seen those black and white pictures that
Yeah.
it, yeah. So the club in person is like black. I think it's got a little bit of red on it, but it's basically black. It's got a little bit of that like grayish. The number one selling color in cars is like that gray cement
Okay.
clay almost. You know what I'm
Yeah.
talking about?
Yep.
It's kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a solid gray. It's not really silver. It's darker than that, but and it's got a little color accents on it to make it look cool. And it is the shelf appeal. When my team saw it and the head cover and everything, they were like, damn, this really looks good. Like, even if it didn't completely outperform Elite, it's gonna definitely outsell Elite because I'm sure it will outperform Elite. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying all things created equal, it would blow Elite out of the water on looks alone. That being said, my guess is the mousetrap is slightly better because that's what they're always trying for. They're just trying for a slight improvement because golf clubs are so well engineered and designed anyhow. So they have a normal one, and they have one with the carbon fiber all the way around the back of the golf club, and it's just freaking beautiful. It's really beautiful. And they just had a price drop. They just messaged us a price drop before the club even comes out. It doesn't come out till like February 1st, but they lowered prices to get more competitive in the marketplace. And I was like, great. Oh my God, we got everything's lining up. So when it comes out, you'll see it, and you'll see the prices and all that. And I think the embargo online, it's like mid-January when you can actually do everything and start the pre-sale and all that. But it's going to be awesome, man. We hear this every year. I don't want to go on and on, but Stevie, I want to tell the whole story. We hear this every year, right? Oh, it's 7 yards longer. It's this. Okay, yep, sure. You've heard enough marketing in your life, but the future's still bright, man. These companies are still trying. They're all trying to crush each other. They're trying to out-design, out-perform, out-style each other, and all that is great. The consumer wins. Like, it's good for you. It's good for me too, because we're gonna sell it. But it's good for you because they're all pushing each other so much But like Titleist can't just sit still. Like the club, the next one better be sweet. And TaylorMade, the you saw that one? Have you seen the picture
Yeah.
of that? Like the QI4D,
Yeah.
and then the Cobra leaked theirs too, right?
Yeah, I
Is
could. I was just trying to think of the name of that, but yeah, I've seen a
Optum
picture of that one. Yeah.
OPM. So that one, so Cobra has recently hired a lot of, or some of the main, or maybe even all. I'm not really sure what the story is, but Cobra hired a bunch of TaylorMade designers. So they're going with a cool new kind of West Coast name, this Optum name. I don't know exactly how good the name's going to go, but if you look at it as an acronym, the joke on the street already is outperforms
Right.
TaylorMade, and because it's OPTM. Who knows?
Uh-oh, you froze up. Well, a little technical issue there mid-conversation, Bob. I'm glad you hung in there as I rebooted everything in the house.
No.
I just changed over to T-Mobile, bought a local fiber company down here. So I just switched over to fiber. At one point, I had two forms of internet, and I just got rid of the one, and boom. Router shuts off, and I put my router in the garage because that's where I got a little golf simulator set up out there, and I wanted that to have the most connection out of everything in the house.
Naturally,
All of a sudden, it just boom. But anyway, we're
yep.
back. So we were discussing
Quantum, I
Quantum
think.
Driver and how it looked, and so if you would take back off, and we'll hope for the best.
I think I'm not sure where in the world it cut off at, but basically the thing is really, really pretty, and I think it's gonna perform great. And they lowered the price before the thing even came out, which I think is good for the consumer too. So I'm excited, man. I think it's gonna be great. There's like four different models, I think. Four head styles, I think.
Yep.
So it's solid. It's real good.
I
So
mean, me and John were talking about this about maybe a show or so ago about the final frontier with drivers has got to be overall control of spin across the face.
correct.
What else can they really do? They can make it as pretty as they want to make it,
Yeah.
but and you see it now. You got a guy, you'll hit a toe ball, and it may only be 200, 300 RPM difference. I don't know how much farther they can go. God knows they're going to go as far as they can, but we were thinking, are we going to see a day where I come out and we get fitted, and then you get fitted to a face?
I mean that with Cobra pushing the envelope and the boundaries on 3D printing, I wouldn't be terribly surprised to see before you and I both kick the bucket, or at least our kids, where they're literally manufacturing golf clubs to exactly your swing. Customized exactly what you need. And I mean, I'd even go so far as this is to say, like, let's just say you play a 5 iron through a pitching wedge or 5 through gap or
Right.
whatever wedges you play. Every single club customized to what you need.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, like your 5 iron is literally going to be a little, like you might toe that a little bit more, so they move the CG up to the toe to help you with the toe shots. And then your 6 iron a little more center, and your 8 and 9 iron, maybe you catch them a little bit thin, so they put a little bit different bounce on there to help prevent that. And like literally every single golf club right through the set, 3D printed, built for you, which is unbelievable. Cobra is doing this 3D printing. They've been doing it for a while. They're doing more irons. Like there's gonna be three models of irons in 2026 that they're gonna have 3D printed. And 3D printed clubs is not new. It's new to consumers, but they've been making them for the tour players for a while. The boundaries and the limits of what you can do with a 3D printed golf club is just a lot higher. So
Now,
we'll see. We'll see. And then drivers, Lord only knows, they might do it. I wouldn't put it past them. If it's the future and if titanium can be done that way, then they'll do it. If not, they got to find a new material and figure it out. So we'll see.
yeah, I did more. You just if you sit there and you think about, I guess possibilities are endless because of technology and AI, and that's what me and John were kind of diving into AI, and what TrackMan can do already. And then you start thinking about what AI can do as far as if you show it what your 3D looks like, it's going to start going, bam, you should play this shaft, this grip, this head, this swing.
Blanks. Yeah, everything about it. Yep.
It's going to, it, I mean, they say that AI is going to jump so much in the next 2, 3 years that
Yeah.
it's going to be crazy, and what it can do for golf is going to be, I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around where it could be
Correct.
in a short amount of time.
Correct. Yeah, it's not going to change anybody's swing. Your swing's your swing, but as far as the customizing to your swing, that can be changed for sure. As far as finding the right length and lie and all the things like that you really truly exactly need, there's a lot more to fitting than what we've scratched the surface on. It might be to the half degree or something crazy. I had on my podcast here in Michigan from the Maple Hill podcast, I had Mr. Bob Bettinardi on my podcast last week.
Saw that.
You saw that he drove up from Chicago and we had a great talk, and his story is just unbelievable. What a backstory. But we talked about the future of putters and what all holds for putters, right? Because putter, you miss hit still, and there's a lot of technology in putters. And he said his comment was, "We've just begun to scratch the surface." And my dad was watching it. My dad comes to me, he's like, "Bob, you really believe that? Just scratch the surface?" I said, "Dad, I said, think about what golf clubs were 50 years ago, and what golf clubs are now, and how much different they are." Like, when mallet putters started coming out, like anything that looks like a spider, I'll just pick on spider for a minute. Everybody's like, "Oh, it looks like a spaceship." Like, I can't putt with a spaceship. Oh, it looks like a mailbox on a stick, right? When the big head drivers came out and these people, ooh, they just slow to adapt and quick to rip on it. And they don't really, people hate change. And I understand that. Old people especially hate change. And like now, like nobody says that. They're all big, they're all the same size. A lot of putters look like spiders or that mallet style with the wings and all that thing. Like, it works better, dude. It works better. So you mock it until you start using it, and then you're like, "Holy cow, this is, why didn't we were using this way back before?" And so his comment was, "We've just begun to scratch the surface," and they think their job is the never-ending job of trying to perfect the art of putting, which is so hard. So good for them. Yeah. So yeah, that was Bob Bettinardi, right? He's at the top of the pyramid as far as that goes, and pretty sweet, pretty cool. So
Yeah, it's hard to, when you think about it, if you sit there and think about it for 10, 15 minutes, you can think of ways that they could change it. But you're like, if you really sit down and think about how far we've come in the last, man, I don't know, 5, 6 years, really, how much tech has changed in the golf industry,
yeah.
it's pretty amazing that we may jump that, twofold with the help of AI over the next couple of years of what
Right.
is actually possible. In a club, like you said, it's not going to swing it. You're not just going to set it out there and it's going to play the round for you. You still
Right.
have to move it through space.
You got to
The
make a
pos,
proper pass, but yeah.
it's really going to come down to look, dude. It's the Indian. The arrow is perfect. This arrow has been designed for you.
Exactly right. I always tell people when it works one swing and it doesn't work right the next swing, the club didn't change. I can tell you that for a fact. The club remained the same. So I like a guy bought a club the other day and he was complaining about the shaft. And I said, "Is it a consistent miss? Like, are you snap hooking it or are you cutting it or what are you doing?" It's like, it's kind of everything. I said, "Well, then you're not consistent enough. It's not the club, dude. Like, it's you. You're not consistent enough. And you bought a $300 shaft and expected it to cure all your ails and money. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry to break your heart, but you can't just buy a $300 shaft and expect to be good at golf. It's not true." So
Yeah,
yeah.
I think we're all hopeful like that. I know we've had the conversation before. It's kind of like when you bought new shoes as a kid and you thought you could run faster. You were for sure of it that you were running faster. It's the same thing with golf equipment. We're all chasing that one thing, but
Yeah.
really the one thing is you, this is one game you just have to continually work at it. You just,
Absolutely.
there is no way around it.
Absolutely. And the placebo effect is definitely real.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think when people tee up a Titleist Pro V1, we've talked about that on your show before, but when they tee up a Titleist Pro V1 and they mentally think, "I'm playing the best golf ball made. More pros use this than anybody else. This ball can't be beat. I'm using the best." That's way over half the battle, dude. And the guys that play Chrome Tour or TP5 or Z Stars or Bridgestone Tour Bs or whatever, the new Bridgestone ball is going to be sweet too. We had samples of that in Maple. It's beautiful. It's cool. It's totally different, which is good. Bridgestone need to shake it up. But yeah, like if that's your mindset, I'm using the best ball for me. If you do a ball fitting or anything like that, probably that's over 50% of it. That really is. If you just mentally think, and there's some old people, I just hit the Pro V1s a little bit further. I'm like, no, you don't, because we've tested every ball out there, and it's not the longest. It's not the longest in Titleist family. It's a urethane ball. It's not designed for distance. It's designed for control, spin. But if that's what you think, I'm not gonna unconvince you. You know what I mean? Like.
Right. What are your thoughts? I know we've touched on this right when they announced it was going to happen, but they roll back this golf ball and it's going to be across the board. How is that sitting with the manufacturers? How are they going to handle that? Because my thought is this: you can still put out whatever ball you want, and you could
Correct.
put a little thing on there that says not whatever USGA legal. My thing is that you're going to have the same guy that wants the Autoflex shaft. He's still going to want to play the same ball that Rory's playing or that Tiger plays or whatever. But the problem is, you go to your local, I play in a bunch of amateur tournaments. Now I'm going to have to show up there and I'm going to have to play that ball because I'm not going to be able to play the ball I want to play. I don't see how manufacturers. How that sticks around, especially I don't know if you saw the test that Bryson's did that where it was way shorter than 5 or 10 yards. It was like that original test they did many years back where it was more like 15 to 20 yards difference. I just don't see how that's going to fly. I don't see how it sits well with these manufacturers either.
Yeah, I was going to
Pretty
say, if
much the
you're,
golf ball.
we talked about this in your show a while back when this whole subject came out, but if you're a Titleist, how interested are you in making a ball like that for the public? Probably not real interested. And how interested are you in stamping the ball differently so that you don't, like, what, you owe the USGA something? You owe them an explanation? I don't think you do. You don't owe the anybody anything. You're a golf equipment manufacturer. You're not the governing body. It's not like if you sell food, you have to legally write on the packaging the nutritional facts because you're ingesting it. And if it's not good for you or you don't know what the hell's in it, that's against the law. You have to know what's in it because you're eating the cornflakes or whatever it would happen to be. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter what it is. Oreo cookies all the way to beef jerky to whatever. You have to, here's the nutritional facts. Here's what it, this isn't that. This is not that. This is a golf ball you're teeing up and hitting with your clubs, but playing golf with your buddies. So there's no legal rule as to Titleist has to declare the ball is this or the ball is that. Why would they do that? I wouldn't do it if I was Titleist and be like, nah, we're not doing that. You figure it out. You want to test everything? You test it. Have a compression checker, have a whatever on every single tee box because the guy hits it in the water on one hole, goes to the next hole. Now is he going back to his old ball? I don't know. Did you check every ball in his bag? Did he have another pocket that his golf balls were in and he switched back to it? I don't know. What are you gonna do? Have somebody on every tee and every green checking everything every round? That doesn't seem realistic. I mean, it's so how in the hell are you gonna stop it?
Well,
I don't know.
I think that you have to have so many people physically buy in. Like, if the USGA wants to just draw a line in the sand and say, this is what we're going to do, well, okay. Technically, we only have to do that for the US Open, and we'd only have to do it for the Open. Every other tournament, as long as if the PGA doesn't go along with it, they can play whatever damn ball they want. It
Right,
doesn't really
exactly.
matter. It's only two tournaments. The only people that really suffer are every person that plays in the US AMs, all those will have that ball. And what I foresee, it's going to be like you're going to have an allotment of balls and you're going to get them there at the event. And if they catch you with another ball, you're just DQ'd and you're going to have
Right.
that mark on your record for.
If the ball is marked, then yeah, you do have that issue. If Titleist says we ain't marking them, you check them. Then it's their word against theirs, and then if the guy gets DQ'd, he's gonna go after Titleist. I mean, it's such a squirrel's nest. It's such a squirrel's nest. I just plus the simple truth is golf is not being ruined by the ball or the, like if you really want to cross these guys, make the greens even dumber, make the greens even faster, and grow up the rough, tighten the fairways, like. You can make golf a hell of a lot harder than what you do with the conditions and change and make the rough super long like the US Open. people dig the long ball. People like to watch Bryson smash the golf ball and Rory and all these guys. So what? You still got a putt? If just hitting it far won you all the time, Bryson would be the he. Nobody hits it as far as Bryson right now, I don't
Right.
think. Maybe Rory's close. I don't know. Those two just destroy golf balls. All right, we're gonna roll them back 15 yards. So what? So what? They're not gonna. They don't win every week because you still have to putt. That's why I've always said, let steroids in golf. Who cares? You want to ruin your own body? Let you ruin your own body. Still got a putt. You still got a chip. You ain't gonna hit every green regulation. You still gotta get the ball in the hole. Who cares how far they hit it? I think the ball rollback thing is like literally no different than this anchoring your putter when they ruled that out.
Right.
I'm like, this is ruining golf. Like, we got so many other issues, and we're worried about whether the putter is touching the guy's chest or not. What the hell?
I
What
think
in the hell are we worried about?
the point would be that for Titleist to actually buy into this would be for the USGA to go, you are the singular provider of the golf ball for the USGA. And because how else can you control if you want every ball to play the same, you're gonna have to play the same ball.
Correct.
I mean,
And that just
there's
ain't gonna
no way
happen.
around it.
There's no way around it, and that's not gonna happen. So if everyone has to lighten their golf ball, if there's a new weight rule that they have to do, because golf balls, right, you can make them lighter, you can't make them heavier, you can make them bigger, you can't make them smaller. So golf balls are at the smallest size they can be at, like the normal what we sell right now. The ball is as small as it can be, and it's at the maximum weight it can be for. It can't be any heavier. It can't be any smaller. So you can make it lighter and you can make it bigger. So if they change the weight of the golf ball to make it not go as far, and every company had to do that and follow that, now you're basically all using the same thing. I don't know. I think it's the whole thing is hocus pocus and garbage. It just doesn't make any sense to me, plain and simple. I'm not even sure what their argument is. I don't understand. What is your argument?
Their argument is they want there are whatever, let's say, well, we'll just call it a handful. There are a handful of courses that can't go any longer, they can't go any wider, and they don't want to actually change them, but they still want to play them. You know,
Well,
you
okay,
can't
so
go much farther on the old course, and if there's no wind, they're going to tear that up. But I hate to tell them, if there's no wind, they're going to tear it up no matter how long it is or how short it is.
right. These
I can
guys who
imagine.
hit. I watched that JB Holmes. I think he hit it on the green and two on a 650-yard par five. 650-yard par five. And it was even a narrow one. When I walked the hole line, I looked at the green. I was like, what is this, a par seven? It's the longest hole I've ever seen. He hit driver five, went on. 650, I think it was. Like, that's insane. So, like, okay, so if the hole was 580, which is still long, you gotta hit 300 and 280, right? That's a lot of, that's two big hits. So is there gonna be way more eagles? Probably not. Like, length, people are, I don't know, the argument about length is it doesn't resonate with me. I don't understand. And if they do go out and shoot there and shoot 28 under, so what?
It
So what? Go ahead.
almost comes down to this. It's like, okay, you guys that are 325 and longer are playing the blacks. You guys that are 300 yards are playing the blues. So they're gonna have two different TrackMan setups at two different tee
Right.
boxes to try to
Right.
level the playing field. But Bob, I won't keep you much longer. I will let you know that I have planned out our entire year next year.
Let's go.
I have sat down just because it gets more and more difficult not to regurgitate the same stuff. Obviously, we'll have room for people writing in to have questions for you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I thought that way I can shake it up and still keep it interesting for you and still catch you off guard here and there. But man, I year two. You know, of us doing this, and
Yeah.
we've touched on, Lord, a lot of subjects.
Tons.
A lot of people ask a lot of different questions, and they're really interested in what your response they're going to be, which is pretty awesome. I just want to say, man, wish you and your family all the best, and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And
Thank you, baby. I
like I
feel the
said,
same. I feel the same about you, and Merry Christmas to you too. And I I think I don't know if this is for you, Stevie, because you're the one doing all the editing and all the stuff, and you might have to edit out my neighbors coming over and Christmas caroling. But like this for me is pretty therapeutic, dude. And I've talked about that before, and just getting stuff off your chest and getting stuff off your mind and being able to say your piece and try to talk truths that not everybody wants to talk about and getting the word out there. I wish everyone watched this podcast. I really did. And I think it's growing. I don't know what your numbers are like, but I know more and more people bring it up to me, and my staff really enjoys it. We always send us the edited clip at the end, and we put on the newsletter. My staff's like, oh, I really liked your point about this, or his question about that, or what'd you think about this? So we're going in the right direction, dude. I feel like we're doing good work. I feel like we're helping the golf community, which is, I think, both of our primary goal, you know, kind of do some good for this world before we leave the world. And I just can't thank you enough for picking me and how we met and all the things. I don't know exactly why everything happens. That's a pay grade above you and me, but I enjoy it. Email me over that list of dates and I'll confirm all those with you. And I really look forward to a great 2026 and our continued friendship. So thank you.
Yep. Well, everybody, another year with Mr. Bob Kitchen and the Maple Hill family. And I hope everybody enjoys it and keeps on listening. We'll kick it off again next year, Bob.
All right, brother. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And thanks for all you do, dude. I really do appreciate it. And everybody listening out there, the whole podcast fam, the Two Dudes, One Card, it's nothing but fun and nothing but love. So enjoy, and we'll see you in 2026.